Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on the 17th day of August, 2023. And once again, I am requesting from my audience an urgent prayer request for my brother Andy, who is 75 years old in a local nursing home here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. He has been living in there for several years, ever since he had a massive stroke that left him paralyzed on the entire left side of his body. After a bout with pneumonia, is now in a life and death situation regarding his blood being contaminated. It is called sepsis, which is a very serious, life-threatening situation. I just visited him in the nursing home today, and it is interesting that he appears no less healthy than he has in that nursing home for years. So I have no idea what that actually means internally for him, but he is not any more weak or less vocal, and still has his quick wit about him and a strong voice. So I don't know if that indicates anything in a positive nature in regard to an improvement of his health. All I know is that he is receiving his antibiotics intravenously, and he already had a round this morning and is having another one tonight. I will keep you posted, but I'm asking you, please, all of you, to pray for our great physician, to use the physicians who are caring for him to bring him to a right and good, strong health again. And if not using those means, that he performs a divine miracle in the life of my brother, and that that our Lord makes it abundantly clear that my brother has a genuine profession of faith in Christ. My brother does profess Christ. It is not always a consistent profession, and it's not one that as of yet has left me with complete peace about where he is with the Lord. So I appreciate that prayer being lifted up to our Lord more than anything else, so that I know with great, enormous confidence that he is truly a child of God before he departs this earth, whenever that will be. So I appreciate all of you, hundreds of you, who have been letting me know via social media and email and text that you are praying for my brother. And I have told him that there are Christians all over the world praying for him, and he seemed genuinely appreciative of that. So I will keep you updated on that and ask that you continue to pray for him. Today we have a first-time guest, Jacob Tanner, who is an author and pastor of Christ Keystone Church in Middleburg, Pennsylvania. And we're going to be addressing a brand new book of his that is quite controversial, Why Sally Can't Preach. And we'll also be announcing, once again, the 2023 G3 National Conference, where my guest, Jacob Tanner, will be involved in a book signing, because the book that he has written, Why Sally Can't Preach, is a publication of G3 Press. So I am looking forward to meeting him at the G3 conference. I hope I actually meet him beforehand at the 3-day conference in Lancaster the week before G3, featuring Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Since our guest is in Pennsylvania, I'm hoping that he can attend that as well. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Trip and Zion Radio, Jacob Tanner.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate this.
Well, why don't you let our listeners know about Christ Keystone Church of Middleburg, Pennsylvania?
Sure. So our church was actually planted last year in 2022. I believe we started technically in April, actually, and have kind of flipped back and forth, if anybody's familiar with the area, between Mifflinburg and Middleburg, depending on where the best place was to meet for us. But as of right now, we've secured a location in Middleburg. And so our church is really focused on a couple of things that we think are very important. One of them is, of course, evangelism, then discipleship, and really everything centers around glorifying God. The mission of our church is to reform, rebuild, and reclaim, reform the church, rebuild Christian community, and reclaim the culture for Christ. And by that, we mean we aim to make the lordship of Christ known in all things and to bring all things under the lordship of Jesus. And so we are a 1689 confessional church. We hold to the 1689 confession. And I'm, of course, the pastor, and so we also hold to expositional preaching of the scriptures, verse by verse, week in and week out. But the Lord has blessed the work so far, and if anybody listening to this is nearby and looking for a church, they are more than welcome to come and join us and worship together with us.
Praise God, and if anybody wants more details on this fine congregation, go to ChristKeystoneChurch.org. ChristKeystoneChurch.org. Well, we have a tradition here. Whenever we have a first-time guest on Iron Sharp and Zion Radio, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony that would include the kind of religious atmosphere, if any, in which our guests were raised, and what kind of providential circumstances our Sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them, and that would include you. So we would love to hear your story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I feel like my story is not as exciting as some people. And for a while growing up, that bothered me quite a bit. I grew up in a couple of different church backgrounds that were big on these huge testimony experiences, you know, like people were near death or they were overdosing on drugs and they came to the Lord. And I was always so impressed by those. And then I'd look at my testimony and say, well, there's nothing really special about it. But that's a bad way of looking at it.
I just saw a clip of a Christian stand-up comic, and it was very hilarious, where he was talking about being in I think it was Christian youth camp or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And he was raised in the faith. So when he was hearing testimonies of people that were drug dealers and stuff, and he goes, oh, I wish I did that before I was saved, since I'd have more of a testimony. But in my opinion, Christ preserving someone from being involved in some of the more overtly wicked, scandalous, and deadly behavior is just as much a powerful testimony, the preservation of God and the protection of God. Not that those individuals are any less deserving of hell. Mm-hmm. You could be a moral, upright person and a member of the Young Republican Club and, think when you go down the checklist of the Ten Commandments, and I said think for a reason, think that you've obeyed these commandments, and you may have not been involved in the ones that are more overtly scandalous, but you could,
sure.
You will go to hell just as quickly as a serial killer if you do not have the blood of Christ covering you.
Amen. And that was kind of my testimony then. So growing up, I grew up in a household where my parents taught me about Christ from a very early age. In fact, I'm often asked the question, when exactly do I believe I was saved? And I can't pinpoint the exact date. And there's a reason for that. One of the earliest memories that I have, I was probably 3 or 4 years old. I remember praying on my own. This wasn't being coerced into it in a situation or anything like that. I just remember praying on my own that Jesus would forgive me for the sins that I had committed. Didn't have a full understanding. I knew at that point that Jesus, of course, had died and risen, and somehow that meant I could be forgiven of my sins. So that's one of my earliest memories. I remember this becoming more of a reality for me, though, when I was around the age of 10. Around 10 years old, I struggled immensely with panic attacks and anxiety, which is very unusual for a child of that age, but I did. And so there was a very real sense that I wanted peace and security, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And so as I began to pray more about it at that age, I came to a deeper sense of peace in Christ. And then throughout my teen years, that only seemed to increase. And it was during my teen years, actually, our family got involved in a couple of different churches. So to back up a little bit, growing up, we were kind of the hodgepodge family of every single Christian theology possible. So it was nothing surprising for us to go to, I'm from Long Island, New York, and there was a place in Long Island, the Our Lady of the Shrine or something like that. We would go there often, and it was a Roman Catholic shrine.
Where from Long Island are you? Because as you know,
I'm from Holtsville, New York, originally.
Oh, I know Holtsville very well. In fact, I frequently stay in hotels when I visit Long Island in Holtsville because they seem to be among the least expensive without being an actual without it being a crack shack.
And
it's also near or not far from the Ronkonkoma train station, which is a major hub, as you know, on Long Island.
Yep, I can't remember where this shrine was, but I know we went there often. I think it was called Our Lady Shrine or something like that. I remember there was a huge statue of, I guess, a lady holding what was supposed to be the baby Jesus. And we went there often. I even sat in some of the mass things that happened there. And this was probably when I was around the ages of 7 and 8. And then it was nothing for us in that same week to then go to an extremely Pentecostal church and then to watch Joel Osteen or Joyce Myers on TV. I mean, we were in a lot of different heresy. We believed a lot of different theological lies. And so in my teen years, I'd love to say things immediately improved, but they didn't. We eventually moved to Pennsylvania, and in Pennsylvania, we began to attend holiness churches, Wesleyan churches, with a very, very works-based salvation-centered message. And as a teenager, this frustrated me quite a bit. One of the providences of God in my life was I've always loved reading, and so I was reading my Bible through, and I was doing it often from the age of 13 onward. But I also found ways to get free books online of the Puritans. And so I was reading the Puritans. I was reading a lot of the Reformers. And as I was reading their writings and comparing it to what I had heard both growing up and what I was hearing in the churches at that point, I realized that the theology I had was extremely lacking. I had no sense of security in Christ. I had no real sense of how exactly a person was saved. I knew it somehow involved faith, but then I couldn't figure out, was it dependent on my works? I just didn't know. And so it wasn't until I was about 14, 15 years old, reading men like Bunyan and John Calvin, and Jonathan Edwards, and even Martin Luther, that I finally began to get a real sense of the gospel simply being the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the gospel being the means of my justification through faith alone, apart from my works, but through the finished work of Christ. And when I began to realize that, it totally changed my life. So again, that's why I say I don't know when exactly the date of my salvation would be, but I do know during my teen years, I definitely had more of an assurance than I ever had before. And it was around then the age of 16 that I began preaching. Probably not a very good idea for anybody listening to begin preaching at age 16, especially in the environment that I was in. But I did begin preaching at age 16, and I was preaching again in these Holiness Wesleyan churches. And long story short, I burned almost every bridge to those churches very, very quickly when I first started preaching. And so over the period of a few years, it became clear that I didn't have a name for the system of theology I was holding to at the time, but I knew that it didn't match up with what the other churches in the area were holding to. And so to fast forward about another decade or so, after attempting to serve in various churches, it became clear that what we needed most in our area, and we didn't feel called away from our area, we felt called to stay in our area. It felt like what we needed most of all, and we prayed about it, was to have a confessional Reformed Baptist biblical church planted in our community. And as far as I know, we're one of the few ones for quite a distance. So the Lord's been blessing that. But over the time, besides preaching and pastoring, the Lord has also granted me many opportunities to write. And so I kind of attribute all of this stuff to back when I was a teenager, reading the Puritans, just how much their writings, their pastoral writings, counseled me and helped me. And I look at a lot of my ministry as trying to do what the Puritans did with their writing and with their pastoring and counseling, comforting, helping people, and that focus again on evangelism, discipleship, and ultimately glorifying God.
Well, when did you realize and how did you realize that the Lord had placed a call upon your life to enter into pastoral ministry?
I was 16 years old. I was homeschooled for my high school years. And one of the requirements of the Pennsylvania program that I was in was that I had to give a public speech. Again, I don't recommend this, but I couldn't figure out a better way to give a public speech than to do it at church. And so I appointed at the time, I suppose he would have been like a youth pastor type deal. I approached him and said, I need to make a public speech. Will you let me do it for the youth group? And he immediately just said, yeah, sure, go ahead and do it. So I did it. And he liked it quite a bit, and the other kids in the youth group seemed to like it. So I'm around 16 at this time, or maybe it was 15. I think I was 16. And he then went to the pastor of the church and said, I would love to have Jake preach from the pulpit on a Sunday night. And for whatever reason, everybody thought this was the best possible idea, and so they agreed to it. And at this point, I was not thinking I was called to preach. Didn't feel like that was something I was even remotely interested in, but I had to make a public speech. So I always liked writing. I, of course, love the Bible, and so I just put together a sermon as best as I could, and the time came to preach it, and I remember the process of preparing the sermon. I absolutely loved. I loved it, but I thought for sure I would not like delivering that sermon. But then it came time to actually preach it. And I remember as I was preaching, the thought crossing my mind, what if this is what I'm supposed to do? So I began to sense a calling at that point while I was preaching without actually intending to do that. And then after that service, a couple of the men within the church, the pastor and a few of the elders came up to me and said, Jake, we really feel like this is where the Lord is calling you to be. We need young men in the ministry. We know that you're young, but really you need to start praying about this. Is this where the Lord's calling you? And so one of these men, his name is Jim Smith, was a huge encouragement to me to really seek theological education. And he felt a very strong calling over my life, and I began to sense it as well. And so he kind of confirmed that for me. And so I had both the inward and outward calling pretty early on. I would say by age 17 or late 16 is when I began to know it for sure.
Praise God. Well, we have a very controversial topic, as I've already said today, why Sally can't preach. And can I ask you, I'm sure you're aware that there are other volumes that have not only been in print for centuries, but some contemporary books that have been written and published with very theologically sound authors, in fact, authors that share our Reformed faith. Why did you say to yourself, you know, I need to add a book of my own to what is already available?
Yeah, I actually did not plan on writing this book. There was no point where I woke up one morning and said, you know what? I'm going to write a book about why women can't preach. what actually kind of led to the writing of this book is kind of a long story and process. I kind of already described how I was in bad theology and the Lord led me out of it through the reading and writing of the Puritans and the Reformers. But when I began pastoring and preaching, I was still in these same Arminian circles that were practicing a lot of theological errors. And so the first church that I was the assistant pastor at, I was probably there for a couple of months. I think I started, it was December 31st I started. So Father's Day comes a few months later. I'm voted into the church. I'm serving as an assistant pastor. And the senior pastor comes to me and says to me, hey, Jake, just so you know, you don't need to preach on Father's Day. I have a woman coming in to lead the service for us. And I remember at the time I was 21 or 22 years old, and I kind of just looked at him and said, wait, we have what? We have a woman coming in to preach for the Father's Day service? I said, that makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. And he said, well, my uncle did it before I was the pastor here. Everybody over the years has done this. It's been going on for 45 years or whatever it was. So we're going to have this woman come in. No, don't worry about it. But I did worry about it, and I was thinking, this is not biblical. So I remember my wife and I chose that Sunday not to attend. And we were just trying to figure out, well, what do we do? Where do we go from here? And I began to have that conversation with people at the church about why women can't preach and why they can't pastor and why they can't be elders and why men have to lead. And, you know, I'm a 21, 22-year-old young man having this conversation with 50-year-old men and 60-year-old men and 70-year-old men, and they'd never heard these things before. So I began to study it more. Long story short, we leave that church due to some other theological issues, and I go to another church, which is Reformed, or at least they claim to be Reformed. And in the interview process, I'm asked about women preachers. What do I think about them? How do I feel about women in eldership? And I tell them, I don't like it. It's unbiblical. I don't want to see that. They seemingly, to me at least, agreed with what I had said. So I didn't press the issue any further. I even gave them a copy of the 1689 Confession, and I said, if you want to know what I believe confessionally, here you go. This is what it is. And we even had a question and answer time for me before I came to this church. I preached a couple of sermons, received 100% of the vote, and then it came time for our very first board meeting. And I go to the board meeting, and lo and behold, this is my own fault. I didn't do my due diligence, but lo and behold, there's women on the church board, and they're not just on the church board, but they're serving in the capacity of elders, at least in title. And so I kind of looked around, and my stomach sunk, and I thought, what did I do? What kind of mistake have I made here? And so I was going to leave the church, but I had a good friend of mine, a pastor, say, listen, you were voted into the church. You received 100% of the vote. How about you give it a year? Preach on these things. If they don't know any better, they need somebody to teach them. So preach about the biblical roles of men and women. Preach the gospel. Preach what the structure of the church is supposed to be. Preach expositionally. Preach through the word and give them a year and then bring these things up to a vote. So I did that. I preached on the structure of the household, the structure of the church, and how God has honestly structured things in a patriarchal way. And I can distinctly remember there were two points where I honestly felt like I was going to be attacked while I was in the middle of preaching. The first was when I was preaching on Ephesians 5, 22 down to the end of the chapter about wives submitting to their husbands. And you could like hear a pin drop. People were upset. They were not happy that I was saying what I was saying, but it was biblical. And then I preached a subsequent message and sermon on the roles of women and men within the church with 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Timothy 3. And again, it was in the middle of that sermon, if looks could kill, I'm pretty sure almost everybody in that room would have struck me dead right then and there. But I continued to do it. Over the course of a year, I preached through various books of the Bible, and I tried to show them as best as I possibly could from the scriptures what the biblical roles of men and women are. When it came time for that vote, things didn't really go too well, and so we obviously left that church because I felt very strongly that not only was the church in sin, but it would actually be sinful for me to continue to pastor with women serving as elders, not only in that church, but in that particular denomination that the church was a part of as well. There was a lot of issues there that I'm leaving out, but even the denomination itself was veering off into that direction, and some other woke issues as well. And so, having preached for, you know, over a year on these different topics, I began to look through these sermons after I had left the church, and I began to write for G3. And I'm pretty sure the first article that was published with G3 was an article called No Such Thing as Women Pastors. And so I submitted that, and they accepted it, and they liked it, and it seemed to have really good feedback from the people who read it. And so I kind of jokingly then said, well, I've got a lot more material that I'd be more than happy to use, maybe even in a small book. And as it turned out, this was in 2022, they came back to me and they said, actually, we would love that. A small book on this topic would be great. We'd be very interested. And so here we are about a year later, and Why Sally Can't Preach has been published. But really what it is it's a combination of sermons that I had written over the period of that year. So it's not that you're just reading those sermons, but in a sense, it's multiple sermons that have been edited, stitched together, and compiled to try to make the most biblically accurate case that can be made for why it is that women can't preach.
Well, we have to go to our first commercial break right now. If you have a question for Jacob Tanner on Why Sally Can't Preach, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you're a member of a church with a female pastor or female pastors, plural, and you disagree with that. And obviously you don't want to draw attention to your identity yet. Or perhaps you're even a male elder of a congregation that has female elders, and he disagrees with his own elder board over this. You might even be a woman appointed to the eldership of a church that has begun to believe that she herself is not qualified. I actually, years ago, when I worked for WMCA Radio, received a phone call from a woman who was an elder in a PCUSA church, a PCUSA church that was at least somewhat conservative and believed in the inerrancy of the scripture and so on. And this was back in the 90s. And she contacted me, and she heard my pastor preaching on WMCA Radio on the show that I created titled The Voice of Sovereign Grace. And he happened to be preaching a sermon on why only men are qualified to be elders in the church. And she was convicted about this. And she asked me of recommendations of churches where she could visit, because she believed that she not only had to resign from being an elder of the church where she was, but she had to leave that church because she said, I don't want to any longer be a member of a church that ordains women. It's quite a remarkable thing. But whatever the reason is, and you're not ready to identify yourself, we can understand those things would compel you to remain anonymous. But if it's a general question about what the Bible has to say about exclusively male headship, please give us your first name, at least city and state. And country residents, don't go away. We will be right back after these messages.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Omega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio an amazing deal. They are going to give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener saying that they heard about RoyalDiadem.com on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making their purchase of jewelry. Whether it's something that they already have in stock in the realm of jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com valued at $100 or more, or if you're having a custom designed piece of jewelry created like an engagement ring, like turning your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo into a piece of jewelry or anything else that your creativity and imagination can conjure up in your brain, they will take what's in your brain and turn it into a physical piece of jewelry that will blow your mind. I've seen firsthand the mastery that RoyalDiadem.com has over custom designing jewelry, and it is assured to come out exactly the way you want. Because no matter where in the world you live, through the miracle of internet, the genius of internet, you will see every phase of the customization process through their software. In other words, you're involved in every step where you can say, hey, I love this part of the design, but I don't like that. Hey, can you make this bigger and this smaller? Can you change the color on this stone? And on and on and on. And then on top of all of that, when you have concluded the internet phase of seeing the development of your piece of jewelry, you will receive in the mail a three-dimensional wax prototype of the piece of jewelry you're having created, the exact size and dimensions of the piece of jewelry, so you can turn it this way and that way, see it from every angle, hold it in your hand, and then when you finally give your approval over that, they will take that and cast it into a final piece of jewelry. So you are assured it will come out exactly the way you want it to. And please, if you have any interest in buying jewelry for yourself or someone you love, go to RoyalDiadem.com soon, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this amazing deal where we get 100% of the profits. That's RoyalDiadem.com. Don't forget a very important aspect of this. Mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in order for us to receive 100% of the profits from that sale. We're now back with our guest today, Jacob Tanner, pastor of Christ Keystone Church of Middleburg, Pennsylvania, and author of Why Sally Can't Preach. If you have a question for Jacob, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. And I want to ask you, Jacob, if you agree with me on this.
Sure.
As much as I am vehemently opposed to women in leadership in the church and in the home, of course, women have a role of leadership over children in the home, under their husbands. But as much as I am vehemently opposed to that, I think that we who are complementarian, or those who are even as far to the right as believing in patriarchy, we have to be careful that we do not vilify women who are in leadership, who may be in that leadership position for a far different reason than the collapse of leftist apostasy. There are denominations that I'm familiar with who I know male pastors in certain denominations, such as the Church of God General Assembly, headquartered in Findlay, Ohio. They have male pastors, but they also permit the ordination of women, and some of these churches do have female pastors. To my personal experience, those that have female pastors also have male pastors on the elder board. But although I'm not trying to soften the seriousness of that error, these women were appointed to that position because those denominations, some of these denominations have a history and tradition of doing this that dates back over a century. And they're a part of Bible-believing denominations that have a very strong commitment to the inerrancy of Scripture, and as the Scriptures being the sole infallible rule of faith for the church, and are stand with you and me side by side in rejecting the heresies and blasphemies an apostasy of many of the mainline denominations that have totally gone apostate. So don't we have to make sure that we do not broad brush women in that position, because we would in essence be bearing false witness against some of them, not by saying that they're illegitimately serving in that capacity and in that role. We must be fervently opposed to anything that we think is unbiblical, but we cannot assume they are all there for the same reason.
Yeah, let me answer the question, then I'll give an example of this as well. So we do have to stick very close to what Scripture says, and so there is no getting away from the fact that they are in error. Now, I would say that the ones who have appointed them to that position and the ones who have failed to teach them what the Bible actually states are the ones who, in a sense, bear the greater sin. So, for example, the man who ordains a woman, is the woman sinning by doing so? Well, if she hasn't been taught any better, yeah, you can still commit a sin out of ignorance. But the man who should know better, I think, is bearing the greater sin, the greater weight of responsibility in that error. But let me give an example of this. So I was telling you about the church that I pastored that had two women serving, quote unquote, as elders. So at this particular church, these women had never been taught before that it was wrong for them to exercise leadership over men. They had no idea. Now, they were older women. They were in their 70s. And so you have a mid-20-year-old man coming in here saying, hey, you guys are wrong. You're in sin, and you need to step down from this position. I understand why there would be kickback from that, and I understand why these ladies would have been upset. But here's the good news. Over that period of the year where I was teaching on these things, one of these women actually willingly stepped down. She came to me and she said to me, thank you so much for preaching what the Word of God says. I have never heard these things preached on before the whole time I've been in church. And she was in church for 70 years at the same church. She came and she said, thank you for preaching on these things. I never heard these truths before. And I've realized that I'm in sin for being in this position. I've realized now I can't teach men. I can't exercise authority over the men of the church. I can't preach to these men. And so I need to step down from this position. Now, the other woman did not want to step down. She was actually very angry over what I had been preaching. And she came to me and she would have said that she believed the scriptures were the infallible, inerrant rule of God. And yet, when I showed her what the scriptures said, she came back to me and she said to me, listen, that was for that day and age, that time. Scriptures have to change, just wait, like the times. If we want our church to grow, we have to do what the times are doing. And so you can't, and again, this is a woman in her 70s talking to me in my 20s, and she says, we've got to do what the world is doing if we want the church to grow. So we can't just necessarily follow what scripture says. In that situation, I would say she now knows full-fledged that she's in sin. She's been shown the biblical witness. It's been patiently explained to her, and she refused to repent. She refused the biblical correction. And so there you can see very clearly somebody who's in sin. But a lot of the time, and it's part of the reason why I wrote this book, a lot of women who are in these sort of leadership positions have been pushed into them by men. And they don't realize that they're in sin. They don't realize that they're in error. They don't realize that they're actually against scripture. And so part of my goal with this book is to lead these women into repentance and show them that there is a far better way. And the better way is biblically called, qualified men leading the church, and wives then submitting to their husbands within the household and within the church submitting to a pastor, and all people, all Christians, submitting then to Christ. And thus, the woman's worth and value is not in a position with a title, but her greatest worth and value is actually found in that role of submitting to her husband and nurturing and raising godly children within the household.
And let me go to some listener questions that have already come in.
Sure.
One of the reasons I wanted to take a couple of these fairly soon, early on into the discussion, is because I have a feeling you're going to steal their thunder. In other words, in anything we are about to say further from this point, it involves their question. So let me see. Where are these questions? I just had them in front of me. Okay. We have Bob in Wakefield, Massachusetts. It's not really a question, it's a comment. And I think it's a very common objection that I have heard from people. I don't know if Bob is conservative. I don't know if Bob is a believer in the inerrancy of Scripture. But sure, his comment appears to be coming from that presupposition. Bob says, much is made and said about what a woman can and cannot do in the church. To me, context is many times ignored, as temple worship included prostitution. Remember, Jesus first appeared to women. The Bible teaches me that God desires obedient servants, regardless of gender. And it's interesting that the final sentence there was, the Bible teaches me, not the Bible teaches. But
yeah,
can you comment on all of these one at a time? And if you need me to repeat them, I will.
Sure. So let's kind of take it step by step. But let me start with that last one first. Let's go in reverse here, maybe. When he says the Bible teaches me that God requires faithful servants. Absolutely. Yes. God has called each and every single man, woman, and child who has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ to be a faithful servant of Christ. That's part of the Great Commission, actually. We are to teach all peoples to be obedient to what Christ has commanded us. So that means then being faithful servants. We have to proclaim these truths to others. Now let me just kind of deal with all of that together, because I think this might answer a lot of that. Well, not really a question, but a comment. God has called us as Christians then not only as faithful servants, but to be faithful proclaimers of the gospel. So the Great Commission is really a great commission that is fulfilled by the people of God. Now, being one who proclaims the gospel, being one who goes and tells another, Jesus died for your sins, Jesus rose from the grave, repent of your sins and believe in Jesus. Proclaiming that gospel message is not the same as preaching. Preaching is a different task. And so he brought up context. Context is important to understand here, because when it comes to, for example, Jesus appearing first to Mary and then the other women, and then them going to tell Peter and the others that Jesus had risen from the grave, at no point was Jesus saying, go and preach my scriptures to other people. He was simply telling them, go and proclaim, go and declare a truth to these men of mine. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, everybody's called to proclaim the truth. The difference is with preaching itself as a function and pastoring as well. And so when we think about the roles of what men and women can and cannot do, for example, men cannot bear children. That, despite what many people say, men can't bear children.
Wait a minute. I've been hearing on the news every day that they can. What are you talking about?
Yeah. What is a woman, right? No, it's very, very clear that God has established these roles for a reason. It doesn't mean that a man is lesser than a woman because a man can't bear children. And it also doesn't mean that a woman is lesser than a man because she can't be a pastor. God's word is very clear on this. So when I describe preaching to people, I like to define it in this way. Preaching is a fundamentally masculine task that is reserved for, and listen carefully, it's reserved for biblically qualified men, wherein they are equipped and indwelt by the Holy Spirit in such a way that they not only exposit the scriptures, but help their congregants and congregation to apply them in practical ways as well. So what that means then is that the very act of preaching itself is an exercising of authority over a congregation.
In fact, could you pick up right where you left off there? Because we have to go to our midway break.
Yep.
And please be patient with us, folks, because the midway break is always a little longer than the other breaks in the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle because the FCC requires of them to geographically localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, where they are located. They do so with their own public service announcements and other local things that they air in the middle of the show, while we simultaneously on our end air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully contact our advertisers. We hope that that means you will frequently purchase their products, use their services, and visit their churches. But when you cannot do any of those things, there's one thing that every single Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener can do if you really love the show and are really grateful that there are people, churches, businesses, and organizations that love the show so much that they share the wealth that God has blessed them with us to keep us on the air. If you're grateful for that, simply do this. Contact our advertisers and say, thank you for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And perhaps you can explain why you are so grateful for that. So please do that at the very least, and also send in your questions to Jacob Tanner, to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Jacob Tanner and Why Sally Can't Preach.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic,
Is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's Church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvino, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvino, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I'm reminding you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, of the urgent need that my sponsor, my primary, premier, one of my most vital sponsors, solid-ground-books.com, they urgently need your purchases from them. They have hit a slump, a serious slump in sales. That has absolutely nothing to do with the quality of the books that they publish. Far from that. But I'm urging you, please, if you've never purchased books from solid-ground-books.com before, or if you have and you haven't done it in a while, I'm asking you to do it today. And if you've even done it recently, I'm asking you to purchase more books from them if you can. Because when solid-ground-books.com is in a financial crisis, that means that we are in danger of being in a further financial crisis because we absolutely positively depend upon their financial support to exist. So please go to solid-ground-books.com and purchase generously today, mentioning that you heard about them from Chris Arnes and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And please keep in mind, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com. An enormous favor of incalculable value because they publish nothing but the very finest in Christian literature dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day, including such modern day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com today, purchase generously, and mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, Jacob Tanner, and our discussion on his latest book, Why Sally Can't Preach, I just have a couple of very important announcements to make. If you really love this show, you don't want it to disappear, please, I'm urging you to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. There are people who have listened to this program and have claimed to love it for decades, going back to when we first launched the show in 2005, who have never given to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm asking you to please give for the first time if you've never given before, because we are in urgent need of your help like never before. And if you've already given, please prayerfully consider giving again. And if you give regularly, please prayerfully consider giving us more than you've ever given. Ever since the COVID mandates, the tyrannical and insane mandates by both federal and local governments began to destroy the livelihoods of many people throughout the world, our giving, or the giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, simultaneously plummeted to an all-new low and never bounced back. It still has not bounced back. We need your help if you really want us to survive. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you want to send in a check the old-fashioned way, sending a physical check to a physical mailing address through your local post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your check if you prefer not to donate electronically on the website app at ironsharpensironradio.com. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, your parachurch organization, your business, your professional private practice like a law firm, a medical firm, or if it's just a special event that you want to promote, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. I want to also remind you that as urgently as we need your donation and as desperate as we are for your donations, I never want anybody cutting in to the finances that you have set aside to give to your own local church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. Please don't do that. And also, please don't give to us yet if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet. There are two things that are clear in the Bible about our finances. We are commanded to provide for our church and family, and you're obviously not commanded to provide for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes. Well, if you want us to stick around, please share some of that money with us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. I also want to remind you about the conference coming up being run by First Love Ministries. First Love Ministries also operates First Love Radio, who live streams this program every day. And they are having, on Saturday and Sunday, August 26th and 27th, a conference featuring my dear friend Joe Jackowitz, president of First Love Ministries, and Austin Huggins, who is also on the staff there at First Love Ministries, and he's a pastor in Baghdad, Florida. The theme of the conference is sanctification, how to grow in holiness, and it is being held at the Reformed Baptist Church of Tama, Iowa. That's T as in Thomas, A, M as in Michael, A, Tama, Iowa. If you would like to register for this free event, go to firstloveministries.org, firstloveministries.org. Also, don't forget about my 3-day event, an event that I've helped arrange for Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, featuring Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's coming up very quickly, September 15th, 16th, and 17th. That's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And a part of that conference on Saturday, September 16th, there will be a debate between Dr. James R. White and Dr. Gregory Coles, who professes to be a gay Christian. The theme of the debate is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ Church? That is Saturday, September 16th, 3:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. The whole conference, as I said, is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, September 15th through the 17th. If you want to register for that event, go to futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org, and the sooner you register, the cheaper your registration fee will be. And don't forget it also, folks, if you're a man in ministry leadership, and going along with the theme of our discussion today, if you're a man in ministry leadership, I'm having my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastor's luncheon on Thursday, October 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, Pennsylvania. And my featured guest speaker for the very first time is Jeff Noblett, who is the founder and president of Anchored in Truth Ministries and the pastor of Grace Life Church of the Shoals in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, a truly powerful, powerful preacher. And everything is free, not only the admission and the food and your opportunity to hear Jeff Noblett preach in fellowship with brothers in the ministry. Everyone there will also leave that place with a heavy sack of free brand new books selected by me personally that have been donated by Christian publishers across the United States and the United Kingdom. So if you want to attend that free pastor's luncheon on Thursday, October 5th, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put pastor's luncheon in the subject line. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Christ Keystone Church of Middleburg, Pennsylvania, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in our audience all over the world find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. That may be you, too, if you are without a Christ-honoring church home. If that's the case, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Jacob Tanner on our theme, Why Sally Can't Preach, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. And Jacob, if you could pick up where you left off, you were in the midst of responding to a comment or several comments by from Bob in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'll repeat what he said. Much is made and said about what a woman can and cannot do in the church. To me, context is many times ignored, as temple worship included prostitution. Remember, Jesus first appeared to women. The Bible teaches me that God desires obedient servants regardless of gender. I'm assuming when he brought up the temple prostitution, I'm not sure what that has in connection to this, because there may have been, from what I understand, I believe there were both male homosexual prostitutes and female prostitutes. So I'm not sure what that has to do with this.
I'm not entirely sure what exactly he's getting at with that comment.
I can only assume he meant that because of the fact that that was like so clear in their mind, because it was a contemporary thing, that at that time they didn't want women to be leaders because of that sin in the temple with the women being prostitutes. That's the only thing I could think of. By the way, Bob, I'm not mocking you. I'm just trying to, if you want to send a clarifying email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, we can further explore that. Jesus first appeared to women. That doesn't really prove anything other than a historical fact. And it also adds to the integrity and authenticity of the Bible. Because if you were going to make up a story, you wouldn't have women being the first eyewitnesses, since their testimony meant nothing in the court of law back then. So, in other words, you would have if the authors of Scripture were perpetrating a fraud, why are you having women appear? Why are you having women as the first eyewitnesses when that
Absolutely.
Would be discredited, especially by the Jews of the day? And the Bible teaches me that God desires obedient servants regardless of gender. Of course he does, because we are all servants of Christ if we are genuinely Christians. But anything else you wanted to add to any of that?
The one other thing that I was thinking is when he was talking about how context is often ignored, I just want to share an example from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verses 33 and 34 say this: "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says." Now, I just want to point out there, and we could go to a couple other passages too, but for the sake of time, let me keep it here. Paul is telling us that the Holy Spirit has not equipped women to preach or to teach because God is not the author of confusion. So when we say that women can't pastor and they can't preach, what we're actually, it's more powerful than just saying they shouldn't preach. What we're saying is they can't, because preaching is a gifting of the Holy Spirit that is only given to biblically qualified men. And the context here is for all the churches of all the different cultures. So when it comes to this topic, there is absolutely no exception. Women biblically cannot pastor and they cannot preach. Doesn't mean that they're lesser than men. They're still incredibly valuable, still incredibly important to the flourishing of human society, to the dominion mandate, to the Great Commission. There are roles for them within the church, but we have to be honest with what Scripture says, and what Scripture lays out for us is a very clear picture and a very clear portrait that women can't pastor or preach.
Yes, and we need to clarify, you already did in this sense, but maybe we'll make it more clear. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the gifts that women have, oratory gifts, the brilliance they have, the theological, biblical knowledge. They may, a woman in a congregation may have vastly more theological and biblical knowledge than her own pastor. But that does not mean she can disobey the knowledge that she has by becoming a pastor.
Right. And again, it's an issue of Martin Lloyd-Jones had a helpful definition for it. He said preaching is logic on fire. Well, how does logic become on fire? The answer, again, is through the Holy Spirit. So unless the Holy Spirit equips somebody to preach, they're simply not going to preach. They might be able, I guess you could say, lecture. Potentially they could teach. But again, the Bible still is prohibiting men, women from teaching the men also. It's any position of authority over a man. But preaching, again, I think we have to understand that it's not just women either, but there are men occupying pulpits that are not qualified. They're not called to it. And so I've been joking lately that I think the follow-up to why Sally can't preach should be why Harry can't preach. And we'll talk about why some of these men
and why Harry met Sally. They were both excommunicated. I'm only kidding.
Some of them should be. But anyway, we have to be faithful to what the text says.
Yes. By the way, Bob in Wakefield, Massachusetts, you have won a free copy of Why Sally Can't Preach, compliments of G3 Press. And since you are a first-time questioner, well, actually, you're a first-time commenter because you didn't ask any question, but you have also won a free New American Standard Bible. So make sure we have your full mailing address in Wakefield, Massachusetts, so that cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, can ship out that book and Bible to you at no cost to you or to us. Let's see. We have Gordon in Setauket, Long Island, New York, and Gordon says, "Is it preaching when a woman is speaking to a group that is exclusively women, as even us folk who are either complementarian or patriarchal typically believe in the integrity and faithfulness to the Scripture in having exclusively female gatherings where there is some kind of a teacher there. Is she not to be animated? Is she not to raise her voice as a preacher would? What makes what she is doing different than preaching?
Again, I think we can point to the Holy Spirit has not equipped a woman to preach because, again, he's not the author of confusion. There's no issue that I see with women teaching other women. In fact, my own wife leads a woman's Bible study, and she would tell you firsthand she can teach other women, but she cannot preach. Again, preaching, fundamentally masculine task reserved for biblically qualified men. And it depends upon the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to preach. There's similarities, of course, between preaching and teaching in that when I preach, am I teaching? Absolutely. Can a teacher be animated as I am when I preach? Absolutely. But again, the key element here that we cannot miss is the Holy Spirit is the one. He is the one that must equip and give unction to the words that are spoken in such a way that it actually becomes logic on fire, as Lloyd-Jones would have said, or preaching. But I think it's good to have those women's gatherings. I think it's good to have them teaching one another. I just wouldn't call it preaching, and I think that's the emphasis Scripture gives to us as well.
So are you saying that you are completely fine, biblically, with a woman teaching an exclusively female audience in the same exact manner with which a man preaches? And let's also remind ourselves that there are many, and I hope I don't upset too many people, there are many male pastors who, in my opinion, are not preaching. They're lecturing from a pulpit.
Right.
There seems to be no sense of urgency, no sense of passion. They're duplicating what they would do in a Bible study or in a seminary classroom. But, yeah. But having said that, if a woman is preaching, or let me rephrase that. If a woman is speaking to or teaching a female audience in the same manner that Al Martin would preach to a mixed audience, is that wrong?
I would say, no, if she understands she's not preaching, but also I'm not sure that that's really going to happen because she's not preaching. So again, I think if we have a situation where a woman is teaching other women, there's no men present, it's women teaching women, and they're sharing, say they're having a Bible study together or something, and she becomes a little excited and animated about what she's teaching, I don't really think there's much of an issue with that. Now, I would say there's an immediate issue if we have a mixed audience. If there's a man present, I think it's very clear that, I mean, don't even worry about her being animated. She should not be teaching at all in a mixed setting. The area where I found the most amount of feedback from that is, well, what about in situations of teenagers? I know that there are a lot of churches and maybe even some who are listening right now who would say we have youth groups where we have a man working together with his wife and they're teaching the teens. And there's some boys in those classes who are pretty close to manhood, adulthood. Maybe some of them are pretty much men now in their maturity levels. And what do we do there? And honestly, it's still tough to exactly figure out when in our culture does a boy become a man. But I think there's wisdom in always having that man and woman team involved for teen groups. And to have the man really as the de facto leader because he's supposed to be. Now, again, that's not necessarily preaching. You can have somebody leading teens or a youth group that is not called to preach. But I think there's wisdom in having an elder involved in that, somebody biblically qualified to teach. And I think there's wisdom also if you're going to have a mixed teen group, definitely have a man present, definitely have a woman present, but make sure the man is the one teaching in those sort of settings.
Okay. By the way, Gordon in Setauket, Long Island, New York, you have also won a free copy of Why Sally Can't Preach. And if you're a first-time questioner, please let us know, because you've also won a New American Standard Bible, if that is the case. And CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, will ship that out to you. Once again, we thank G3 Press for providing us with a limited number of books to give away to listeners submitting questions today. We have a faithful, loyal listener and also a very generous listener who donates to this program monthly, sometimes more than once a month. Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, who I am really eagerly looking forward to sharing fellowship with this brother at the G3 conference coming up. Greetings, brothers. It seems to me that the churches or denominations that have gone down this path have also ended up approving homosexual marriages and ordinations. Do you agree? That's interesting. I've heard a saying that goes like this. Well, every church that ordains homosexuals began by ordaining women. Not all churches or denominations that ordain women currently ordain homosexuals. So I'm assuming you would agree with that, because that, as I even just said, with the Church of God General Assembly headquartered in Findlay, Ohio, they are just as much opposed to homosexuality as you and I are, but they ordain women.
Yeah, so one of the things that I talk about in the book is I have a section where I explain the history of, for the longest time, it was the fringe groups that would ordain women or say that these women have been called to preach. And they were fringe groups because people immediately knew they were heretical. But then you enter into really the late 1800s and you start to see the shift occurring. I chalk it up to two things. One of them is the rise of radical feminism, which I believe is very closely linked to the Industrial Revolution as well. So the forcing of men out of the home to then work in different places where they're spending long hours away, and then the forcing of women out of the home as well. So you no longer have trades being practiced. The children are no longer taught by both parents. Now you have women also being forced out of the home. Feminism comes along and says anything men can do, women can do better. In fact, we don't even need men anymore. And then connected to that, you have in these radical feminist groups, these people coming along and saying, well, if women are going to have any value in society, they need to occupy the same places that men do. There can't be any distinction made anymore. And so once you have the women being ordained into these roles, you have it happening with the United Church of Christ in the 1800s. Not officially counted, but there is a woman that begins serving as a pastor at that time. You have, I think we already mentioned, the Presbyterian Church of the United States of America. They start to do it. You have the famous Azusa Street revivals that brought about a lot of the bad charismatic practices that we see today. But they, of course, had women leading the charge in a lot of different ways. And in each of these circumstances, what you have is once women are ordained and they become pastors in these churches, what you have happening is a denial of gender roles that are established in the creational order itself. And once the creational order is denied, really what you've done is you've cut off the Bible from Genesis onward. And it's just a matter of falling into a whole lot of other theological errors, theological liberalism, until eventually you get to the point where we're at today, where, what is it, the PCUSA is having the drag queen story hour shows and everything else. And I know some will say, well, that's a slippery slope. That doesn't necessarily mean that's going to happen. Historically, that is exactly what has happened.
Isn't it the same hermeneutic that is typically used to defend the ordination of women, also used to embrace homosexuals, not only as genuine regenerate brothers and sisters, but also to ordain them? That it seems that the same hermeneutic is using, because the excuse is often used that there were cultural things,
right,
that that led to this prohibition for both of those things, being a woman or being a homosexual. And yet, in fact, your book cover, somebody could pick up your book cover and say, oh, I don't even have to read the book because the answer is right on the cover, the apple. because we know that the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 2, he says, starting in verse 12, but I do not allow a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet, for it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve, and it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a wrongdoer. So therefore, he is not appealing to anything that was contemporary and cultural. He was appealing to the God-breathed words of the Hebrew scriptures in Genesis.
It's really an appeal, too, to the transcendent order that God has established within the sexes itself. So when God designed man and woman in Genesis 1, Paul is appealing back to that. And he's saying, well, Adam was formed first. So there you go. There you have your federal headship. And then he says, but if there's one thing that woman was first in, it was in being deceived and sinning. So in other words, if you allow women to lead in these positions, like as a pastor in a church, one of the things you could say that's going to happen is greater deception and greater deceit is going to occur over a period of time. And again, historically, that's been the case. You mentioned the hermeneutic that they use, and that's absolutely true. Once you fall into that hermeneutic of saying, well, it was just cultural, it no longer applies to us today, 5 minutes later, suddenly homosexuals are being ordained as well, because, I mean, where do you stop? There's no place to stop if you're not grounded by the word.
Amen. We have Andrew in Brooklyn, New York. Do you view the issue of female pastors as a test of orthodoxy, like justification by faith alone, the Trinity, or holding to biblical sexual ethics?
I do. So I look at this as actually being a primary issue within the church. So there are secondary issues. There are tertiary issues. Somebody can hold to a different eschatological view than I do and be a brother in Christ or sister in Christ, as long as they believe that Jesus is coming back. There will be an end to temporal history. He's going to make all things new, general resurrection, judgment, all of those things. As long as you believe that, I don't care if you're pre-mill, mill, or post-mill, right? But when it comes to an issue like this, I do believe it is that important that if you deny gender roles, if you deny biblically what a man and woman is, you're going to deny the gospel. There's no way around it. And we see that with this hermeneutic, which then also begins to ordain homosexuals. So I view it as being as important as justification by faith alone.
Now, here's where I may, and unless you clarify and correct me in my thinking here, here's where I may disagree with you in that denial of any of those things that Andrew brings up is an indication that the person isn't even saved. These are salvific issues. The justification by faith alone, the Trinity, biblical sexual ethics. I'm not necessarily saying that every single person who misunderstands the doctrine of the Trinity is damned, because even as James White has said in the past, if you were to interview evangelicals on what the Trinity means, he thinks like 80 to 90% would give a modalist description. I think there's also a difference between a naive, immature Christian who doesn't understand this and a teacher who is anti-Trinitarian. I think that those are.
Yeah.
But anyway, like I was saying, these are salvific issues where I think a woman who is a pastor, who, although she is doing something that is very unbiblical and warrants our rebuke and warrants that she step down from that office, I believe she can be regenerate.
Yeah, I think that there's it goes exactly to what you were just saying. There's a sense in which a lot of them really just don't know. And so when I say it, I look at it as a primary issue. I'm thinking in terms of the women who do know better. They've been shown over and over again and yet have doubled and even tripled down in the sin and are now saying, well, scripture doesn't really mean what you think it means, or this was just a cultural observation that Paul made, or Paul was misogynist, or one of my favorites, Paul's not Jesus, so I really don't care what Paul said. That's where we see a lot of these really big issues. But it goes back to my experience that I had at a previous church, in that a lot of these women who are in these positions have been put there by men. Those men, I believe, bear the greater sin,
right?
Because they failed to lead well. And some of them just need to be taught. It's justification by faith alone, right? You can go into some reformed churches and the people won't be able to articulate that too well. Now, There's various reasons for that. You could blame it's on that's the pastor. He didn't explain it well. They didn't listen well, whatever it may be. If you patiently explain it to them and they say, okay, I see where my error was, they're obviously they're redeemed. Likely there's not any error there any longer. And so I look at this as the same in the same way, same token, very important, but somebody can misunderstand it and be saved. Absolutely.
Well, we have to go to our final break. And if you have a question, I strongly urge you to send it immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back with Jacob Tanner. Don't go away.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355
That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Onzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Onzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Onzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, the new accurate website for Grace Covenant Baptist Church of Flemington, New Jersey is gcbc-nj.org. gcbc-nj.org. So ignore the website that was provided in that commercial you just heard. gcbc-nj.org is the correct website. We are now back with our guest, Jacob Tenner, and we are going to continue to until the conclusion of today's show, our discussion of his book, Why Sally Can't Preach. And we have, excuse me, we have Ted in Moundsville, Alabama, who has a question. He is saying, your guest spoke eloquently on the value of the writing of the Puritans for pastors. I'm wondering if he might briefly address the value of Puritan writings for those not in ordained ministry especially for those of us who are starting to explore the Puritans. What sort of things should we look for or look out for as we begin reading them? Obviously, that would take 2 hours to adequately answer, but anything you want to highlight?
I would say to everybody listening, read the Puritans for sure. If you want somebody simple to start off with, read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. You'll see a walk through the Christian life. Thomas Boston is excellent as well. But really, when you're reading the Puritans, what you're going to find is what Joel Beakey calls experiential theology. Mm-hmm. So it's theology applied. And there's, I believe, no greater source of comfort in my own personal Christian life when it comes to theological writings than those of the Puritans. They have such a warmth, such a clarity when it comes to preaching biblical doctrine. One of my personal favorites that I would recommend is John Bunyan's Come and Welcome to Jesus Christ. And really anything Bunyan related. Bunyan's one of my personal favorites. But just read the Puritans. They are excellent for everybody.
And I have heard from a few of the world's most prominent experts in the Puritans that the only thing worth reading by Richard Baxter was The Reformed Pastor, because he was actually an Arminian and had some serious flaws on the very primary and important issue of justification.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've personally not read Baxter outside of The Reformed Pastor. So you
took their advice.
Yeah, I took their advice without knowing it. But I did see those are being republished, though. I think all of Baxter's works by Soli Deo Gloria Publishing, I believe.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
I believe so.
Okay. Well, I really want you. Oh, by the way, Ted, give us your full mailing address in Moundsville, Alabama, and we'll have CVBBS.com ship you a free copy of Why Sally Can't Preach. I'd like you to summarize now, brother, what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today in regard to this very important topic.
If there's one thing I think everybody takes away from today, I think hopefully it's this. Preaching is an incredibly important task. Pastoring is an incredibly important task. And my goal in writing this book is not to put down women or to put down anybody for that matter. My goal in writing this book is to affirm the biblical truth that we all know to be true, which is that men, biblically qualified men, must preach and they must pastor. Those who are in sin must repent and step down from those positions. If they're women, absolutely they need to step down. But maybe even a man listening to this is in sin. If that's you, step down, because it's dangerous not only for you but for your congregation to stay in that position as well. And for those who know the truth, keep on standing on the truth. Be steadfast. Know that your labor in the Lord is never in vain. And as we think about these things and as we pray through these things, let's also acknowledge all of our roles are vital and important. And the real solution for this, I think, is the family. As long as we begin to understand that a woman's most important role, if the Lord calls her to it, is as the wife and mother of the household, she is doing incredibly important work. In fact, often raising up the next generation of preachers with young men in her household. So keep on doing what the Lord has called you to do. Don't seek to do extra. And when you seek to do what God has called you to do and what he's equipped you to do, you will glorify him.
Well, if any of you listening had not won the free copy of Why Sally Can't Preach today, and even if you did win a copy and you want to purchase more copies, I would strongly urge you to do that. If you want to find out more about this book, go to g3men.org, g3men.org, and click on Press at the top of the page, and Press will lead you to G3 Press. And if you want to type in the search engine Tanner, the last name of my guest, T-A-N-N-E-R, you will see this book, Why Sally Can't Preach. I also want to remind you about the website for Christ Keystone Church, which is, remind me of the city, brother.
Middleburg, Pennsylvania.
Middleburg, Pennsylvania. Go to ChristKeystoneChurch.org. ChristKeystoneChurch.org. Folks, please also do not forget about the 3-day Bible conference in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. This is the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society Conference, which they call the Future of Christendom Conference. And on Saturday, September 16th, Dr. White, once again, will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles on the theme, Is Gay Christian a Biblically Acceptable Identity for a Member of Christ's Church? That's Saturday, September 16th, 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. But the entire conference is Friday through Sunday, September 15th through the 17th. Go to futureofchristendom.org to register, futureofchristendom.org. Also, don't forget about my free pastor's luncheon for all men in ministry leadership, featuring guest speaker Jeff Noblett at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, Thursday, October 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And send me an email if you want to register for free at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. I want to thank you so much, Jacob, for being a superb guest. I want to thank everybody who listened. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.